read to you from the prophecy of Isaiah. And if you're typically here on Sunday mornings, you know the routine. I almost always ask that you'll take your Bible and open with me. But tonight I just want you to sit quietly and listen as I read this prophecy that Isaiah delivered about the birth of Christ, about his virgin birth 700 years before it took place. Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 through 14. Listen to God's holy word. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol and as high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel." Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we come before you tonight and ask that your word, that this prophecy of Isaiah, spoken hundreds of years before Christ, would speak to our hearts here tonight. For we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Over the years, I've heard many people say things like this. "I don't know, but there's just something special about Christmas. I feel closer to God at this time of year more than any other time of year." And perhaps that's true of you. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the thought as we get older, those memories of when we were a child, all of the anticipation and the excitement about Christmas, the Christmas tree and the red poinsettias and all the decorations. Even listening to Christmas music on the radio, isn't that interesting? It's the one time of the year that secular radio stations play religious music, and we hear it every year. Maybe it's some anticipation of what we might open up under the tree in the morning. And perhaps it's even coming to Christmas Eve services like this. When I was growing up, I didn't go to church, and so I never knew what coming to a Christmas Eve service or lighting candles or even singing these familiar Christmas carols was all about. "Joy to the world, hark the herald angels sing." I knew none of that growing up. But for some of us, it draws our hearts close to God, especially at this time of year. Now, how about you? When do you feel closest to God? Have you ever thought about that? As you look back over your life, and some of us sitting here have more of life to look back on than others, but let me ask you this. In all the years that you've spent here on earth so far, when was it that you felt closest to God? Think about that. Maybe it was Christmas, or a Christmas Eve service just like this. Or maybe it was some other occasion in your life. Perhaps it was some difficulty that you went through. Perhaps you lost a loved one, a parent, a spouse, a child. And in that darkness, somehow God's presence showed up in a way that had never shown up before. Or maybe you had some other difficulty that you had to endure, and God came and drew close to you. Maybe it wasn't a difficulty at all, but some other part of life. Can you think of it? When you felt closest to God? It's interesting when we open up our Bibles and read to ask that question. When was God closest to his people? Have you ever thought about that? When was God actually closest to his people? It's sort of obvious, isn't it, that when you open up the Bible to the very first page, Genesis 1:1, the verse says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." It's sort of obvious that's when God was closest to his people, wasn't it? When he actually created the world and everything in it. For we read that whole chapter, and God, in his majestic artistry, crafts the heavens and the earth and everything in them in 6 days. He makes the sky and causes birds to fly through, and the sea and the fish to swim around it. He creates the land and puts all of the livestock and animals on it. And then it's on that sixth day, the pinnacle of his creation, when God reaches down and grabs some dust off the ground, the very dirt, and goes and breathes into the very first human being, the breath of life. And then later on, he causes that first man, Adam, to fall into a deep sleep and removes one of his ribs and fashions that rib into the very first woman, Eve. And when Adam wakes up from his sleep, he sees Eve standing before him, and he says, "Bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." And the very first wedding takes place right there. Was there ever a time when God was closer to his people than that? Well, the answer is yes, there was. It was many, many generations later, after God had formed his own people, the nation of Israel, through Abraham and Isaac and his son Jacob. And Jacob's son Joseph went off into Egypt and actually saved the world from a famine that took place. But once he died, the Hebrew people were enslaved to the Egyptians for 400 years. Can you imagine that, being slaves to a foreign nation for 400 years? And during that time, God's people cried out to him day after day, asking for him to send someone to deliver them from their oppression. And then finally, there was a baby that was born. And this child was supposed to be cast into the Nile River and be drowned to death. But by a stroke of God's providence, the child was spared, was placed into a basket, and sent down the river by his mother. And lo and behold, it was actually Pharaoh's daughter who found the child and rescued him and raised him as her own. This child, Moses, would grow up in the king's court with all of the education and all of the privilege that came from that position. But later on in life, when he found out his true identity as a Hebrew, he murdered a man and was forced to flee off into the desert. And there he remained, shepherding sheep for 40 years. And then, one day, when he was out tending the sheep, he looked up onto a mountain, and there it was, a bush that burned, but was not consumed. And Moses scaled the mountain and stood right before the very presence of God in that burning bush, and heard God's very voice say, "My name is I Am Who I Am. Go and set my people free." That's an incredible encounter with God. And I ask you, was there ever a time in history where God was closer to his people than right then? And the answer is yes, there was. Because many generations after this, the nation of Israel found itself in dark days once again. About 700 BC, the Israelite people were suffering because the Assyrian Empire, who was the world power at the time, was lurking in the north, and they were knocking on their doorstep and about to force them into exile once again. Ahaz, the king of Judea, was sitting on the throne during this time. And he was a cunning and calculating king. He didn't care for God or God's people. He only looked out for himself. And he manipulated and he pulled to try to maintain his own power. That was his one interest. And he not only turned his back on the one true God himself, but he led all the people into idolatry. It was so bad that he himself actually sacrificed his own son to the pagan god Molech and offered his own son to be burned in the ashes to appease this false god. Can you even imagine? And it was in these days that God raised up the prophet Isaiah to go and preach to Ahaz the king and to call him into repentance for his sins. And so that's what Isaiah did. It's the passage that I just read to us. He tells him to go meet with King Ahaz outside the city by the aqueduct as he inspected the water sources. And there he was, and he told Ahaz, who at that time was shaking like a leaf because of fear of the Assyrians. And Isaiah said to him, "Keep calm. It's okay. Ask God for a sign." But Ahaz was too proud to ask. And finally, Isaiah the prophet said, "It doesn't matter. God's going to give it to you anyway." And that's when Isaiah spoke these incredible words. "That a child will be born through a virgin. A virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and his name will be Emmanuel," which means God with us. If you've happened to be here over the last few Sundays, we've been looking at the quartet of prophetic names of Jesus that Isaiah also prophesied: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And now we come to Isaiah 7, the climactic name, Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Isaiah delivered that incredible prophecy that the virgin would conceive and give birth to a son who would liberate their people once and for all, was there ever a time when God was closer to his people than that? Yes, there was. Because 700 years later, the Apostle Matthew tells us the story. That there was a carpenter by the name of Joseph, pledged to be married to a young girl named Mary, in the town of Nazareth in Galilee. And the angel Gabriel came out of heaven and appeared to Joseph and said that the woman that you're engaged to is already with child, and it's not your son. But don't worry about it, because what's conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. This will be God's own son. And you are to give him the name Jesus, the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And Gabriel went to Mary and spoke the same message, that she was going to give birth to the very Son of God. And that is what Christmas is all about. God's Son being born right here on earth in human flesh to dwell among us. Was there ever a time in history that God came closer to his people than that? Yes, there was. Because that little baby who was born in Bethlehem would eventually grow up, and about 33 years later, that same child would grow into a man who would live a perfect and sinless life. And then he would be forced to carry his own cross all the way up the hill of Golgotha. And once he got there, he would be spit on and mocked by the soldiers. He was whipped and lashed across his back till his face and body were bloody all over. And then when he got to the top of the hill, they laid the cross on the ground and put him on it and nailed his hands and his feet to that cross and pressed a crown of thorns into his head and then hung him up to die for your sins and for mine. And while Jesus was hanging on that cross, he looked out at the soldiers and the Jews who had betrayed him, and even his own disciples who were non-existent after promising to be with him to the death. And he called out and said, "Forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And then in his final breath, he said, "It is finished." Was there ever a time when God was closer to his people than when he suffered and died on the cross? Yes, there was. Because after Jesus died on the cross, 3 days later, It was very early in the morning on the first day of the week when a few of the women who had followed Jesus went all the way to the tomb to anoint his body. And when they arrived at the tomb in the twilight, they could see that the stone that had covered his grave had been rolled away. And as they got closer, they saw two angels sitting on top of it. And the angels looked down upon them and spoke these words, "Why do you look for the dead, the living among the dead?" And there, Jesus appeared to them, and he eventually appeared to his disciples, and 500 more people over 40 days until he ascended back into heaven. The glorious resurrection of Christ that we celebrate on Easter Day. And I ask you, was there ever a time when God was closer to his people than when he rose again from the dead and conquered death and suffering for all of us who are here today? And the answer is yes. When was the time that God was closest to his people on this earth? Well, let me tell you what it was. It was February 1995. You all remember the day? Anyone remember 1995? Probably not. Well, let me tell you what happened. It was a cold and bitter night. The snow had been flying and the roads were quite icy. And I was riding in the back seat of a car with three of my friends, driving on roads that no one should have been driving on. And I had a full case of Budweiser beer sitting on my lap. 24-ounce cans, the big ones. And we were going through them like they were water. You drink a can and you throw it out the window and you keep on going. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, when we were all drunk out of our minds, I had this overwhelming sense come over me, and it said, "Go home now." And to this very day, I can't explain how it happened. I don't fully understand it. And it wasn't the angel Gabriel who came down, and it wasn't an audible voice from God. But somehow I knew that it was God who was speaking to me in the back seat of the car that night. And so I yelled up to the front seat to my buddy Marty and said, "I need to go home now." And they responded as all teenage boys do at the time and said, "You can't go home yet. We still have beer to drink." But after arguing with them for a while, they eventually dropped me off. And I walked into my house and everyone was asleep. And I laid on my bed and looked up at the ceiling. And that's when I began to pray, as my whole life flashed before me to that point. I had started going to church less than a year before this and heard the same biblical messages that you just heard here this evening. And by that point, I had believed that God was real and that Jesus was indeed his son, who was born on Christmas Day, who suffered and died for my sins on the cross, and then was gloriously resurrected on the third day. But until that point, I had not truly put my faith in Jesus. I had not given him my life. And so in February 1995, on a cold February night, I began to pray, and I prayed to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And that was the night that my whole life changed. Completely. I woke up the next morning and physically and spiritually and emotionally felt different. And friends, that is when God has come closest to his people for me. And so I ask you tonight on Christmas Eve, when have you felt God's presence closest in your life? And I pray for each one of us that we will have some encounter with the Christ who left all the splendors of heaven to come to a sinful and broken world like ours, to live, to suffer, to die, and to be resurrected, so that you and I can have forgiveness for all of our sins and go to heaven when we die. For this is what Christmas is all about. Let us turn in our bulletin for our group prayer as we respond to God's word. Let us say together, Almighty God, you have made this night holy by the gift of your Son, born of the Holy Spirit and of Mary. Upon him rested all your grace. Through him has come all your mercy. Let his light shine within our hearts tonight, even more brightly than it shines from the candles we light in this place. Help us to hear your word and to celebrate your everlasting love through him. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and turn to hymn number 186 as we sing Silent Night. The lights will be dimmed and we'll be around to light the candles.